New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit, been on Twitter, all right, by the Ole Miss Spirit. Image, the graphic there, kind of hidden behind the pumpkins. It's October 1st, Halloween season, folks, and the heart of football season. I want to ask real quick that you excuse my absence from the show on Monday. I usually do a show on Mondays, but my brother-in-law, Brandon, was rushed to UAB on Sunday night with a life-threatening issue. He's stabilized. He's doing a little better, but they still can't figure out what exactly is going on with him. So if you're the praying type, pray for Brandon. Brandon Armstrong, my brother-in-law, who we love dearly. And we got back in from Birmingham late last night, took Gracie to musical practice for Seussical the Musical, debuting this week in New Albany High School. So come check it out. And then my daughter, my youngest daughter, Riley, had softball practice with those Lady Reds who've won three rings, taken three rings in four tournaments. But their minds were burdened, man, and they were worried about their Uncle B. So if you are the praying type, man, to start this out, I wanted to say, Brandon, we're thinking about you. We love you. Get better. We'll be back to see you very, very soon for these purposes. Ole Miss this week, after a debilitating loss to Kentucky on Saturday that dropped Ole Miss to 4-1 and 0-1 in the SEC. They get South Carolina, a road trip to South Carolina this weekend, 2:30 p.m. Central Time. South Carolina's 3-1, 1-1 in the SEC, and absolutely abused those same Kentucky Wildcats. So going into Saturday and then coming out of Saturday, the outlook for Ole Miss and how we view everything, including the remaining schedule, has completely changed. What's also changed are postseason projections, I should say, from various outlets that have now shifted dramatically. Ole Miss was a widely considered consensus playoff team, if not on the very, very edge of the fringe and one of the last few left out, depending on those experts that wanted to see whether or not Ole Miss was for real. And then Ole Miss, unfortunately, proved all their doubters right. Congrats to the haters. The haters are right because Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. So looking at these postseason projections now, the conversation leading into Kentucky was what we needed to see, the momentum we need to see Ole Miss maintain, the problem areas of field corner and lack of depth at running back with Ulysses Bentley mysteriously absent. We're going to touch on Ulysses Bentley in this podcast today. On and on, all the problem areas we've been talking about here on Talk of Champions, I thought they were better, or this Ole Miss team was better than those problem areas, especially against a team it was heavily favored against. Ole Miss was favored in each of its remaining games in 2024-25, including a home contest with Georgia. And now that's been flipped on its ear. Now how do we view this? What do we even know this team to be? And that's where South Carolina this weekend is going to answer a lot of questions. But the postseason projections, Brett McMurphy of Action Network and Athlon, he now has Ole Miss in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Bowl against Arizona on December 27th. Now, just like political polling, I say this all the time, you know, bowl projections, polls, playoff projections, all those things on October 1st spooky season, as I pull out the pumpkins to hang over the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com logo, it's a snapshot in time. It's not necessarily a reflection of what's going to happen. It's just what's the truth, what we believe to be true, what we know to be true right now. So right now, Brett McMurphy has Ole Miss in the Las Vegas Bowl against Arizona. Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, he had Ole Miss in the college football playoff from the start. He has them, or had them in the Citrus Bowl, and now he has them in the Music City Bowl. The Ole Miss Bowls of Bowls against Nebraska, which would be a fun little matchup, but the Music City Bowl. Because going into the year, you heard me say it, you heard J.D. Pickle on Three National Analysts say it, you heard Andy Staples on Three National Analysts say it, all a similar refrain. Anything short of the playoff for this Ole Miss football team is a disappointment. And I know that in the old days, the Music City Bowl, just getting back to the Music City Bowl, I remember when Ole Miss kept going to the Independence Bowl and lesser bowls like the Music City or whatever, and got left out because Alabama finally got bowl eligible again. So a 7-5 Ole Miss didn't go to the Independence Bowl, got left out of the postseason entirely so that 6-6 Alabama could finally go to a bowl again. So I don't want to take it, you know, I don't want to take for granted postseason trips, because historically for Ole Miss, postseason trips aren't to be assumed. But back to Nashville for the Music City Bowl. God. At least with Vegas, it's Vegas. Then you got ESPN's Mark Schlabach and Kyle Bonagura. Again, I'm terrible at names. I'm so sorry. They have Ole Miss heading to Florida to the ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly the Outback Bowl. And their opponents vary. Mark Schlabach's got Ole Miss playing Nebraska, while Kyle Bonagura has Ole Miss playing Rutgers or Iowa. So, yeah. No, Rutgers. He hasn't played Rutgers. Yeah. It's a different world on this Tuesday, October 1st, as spooky season rolls around. It's kind of a house of horrors right now. Ole Miss has to prove it, because Ole Miss allowed its doubters, its haters, its critics all the ammunition they could possibly need from a really, really bad afternoon for Ole Miss against Kentucky on Saturday. Specifically offensively, and that's where we start. Two things I think, one thing I know. The first thing I think Ulysses Bentley, it's time. He's got to play more. Lane Kiffin was asked about Ulysses Bentley and his absence again on Monday. Each week, Lane Kiffin holds a weekly press conference, and each week, we have made sure to ask him about Ulysses Bentley. This is the highest graded returning running back in the SEC. He resigned in the offseason to replace Quinshon Judkins, who transferred to Ohio State. Averaged nearly 6 yards a carry last year. Quinshon was the Rebels' single-season record holder for rushing yards as a true freshman. All of these things were true weeks ago when Kiffin was first asked about where Bentley is, his seemingly out-of-nowhere absence, or at least it's looking like now, against the backdrop of an ugly loss. One of the worst for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss to Kentucky. Is it a benching then? Has he been benched? Because back then, a few weeks ago, when we were first asking Lane Kiffin about Ulysses Bentley, he said he was healthy, that he'd done nothing wrong. It was just more of a positive in regards to Henry Parrish, Matt Jones. But then on Monday, asked again, especially when the offense struggled, the running game struggled, the lack of playmakers, which is probably the most alarming thing to me. Ole Miss has weapons, real weapons. It's not just Trey Harris. It's Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins and Juice Wells, and in the preseason, Ulysses Bentley, the highest graded returning running back in the SEC, paired with a Henry Parrish. And yet, on Saturday, Ulysses Bentley didn't play but special teams. And the only reason he came in is because Micah Davis, the transfer and the starting kick returner for Ole Miss, got hurt on the opening kickoff. The answer from Kiffin remained the same.
A couple weeks ago, when he was asked about Ulysses Bentley, he said, he anticipates, him getting more touches as a couple games go on. Is that something that you anticipate as well?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fair question. I get asked that every week. These other guys are doing well. I thought they ran well. I thought they protected well, and so it's nothing against Bentley. It just is how it is. But I can't predict how the future is going to go.
The other guys doing well. Running and protecting well, it doesn't hold water when you only score 17 points, because what I think is that Ole Miss should be playing Ulysses Bentley more. What I know is that 20 points should always be enough for a Lane Kiffin team to beat an opponent. I don't care if it's SEC or not. 20 points? Lane Kiffin was brought here for one specific reason, to transform this program, yes, but more than anything, get the ball to its playmakers because, man, the days of going after a defensive head coach or anything like that, they knew, Ole Miss knew, it had to go more in the Hugh Freeze mold because, look, Ole Miss tried to go the ground and pound. They tried to play defense and run the ball and do that grimy, old-school type of offense under Matt Luke, and the playmakers suffered. A.J. Brown, Dawson Knox. They didn't open it up like Ole Miss fans wanted them to see, wanted to see out of their Ole Miss team. And Lane Kiffin, he answered that first and foremost. Bring the excitement back, the offensive fireworks back. So when Ole Miss only scores 17 points and loses, it falls directly at the feet of Lane Kiffin and the offensive staff. One of the most highly paid and compensated and praised staffs offensively in football, and Saturday was one of their very, very worst days. Kentucky outpassed them. If you want to look at Pro Football Focus grading, it isn't pretty. Across the board, Ole Miss offensively was bad. Actually, the highest graded player for Ole Miss offensively, Diego Pounds at 75.4, is an encouraging thing. Because Diego Pounds stepped in for Jaden Williams. Jaden Williams hurt, and they don't know exactly what's wrong with him. They're not being completely forthcoming with what's going on. I don't think it's serious, but we don't know. And until he pops up on the injury report, he popped up on Saturday, surprisingly, until an update pops up on that injury report, which are now required by teams. We can only go by what we know, and what we know is, hey, Diego Pounds stepped in, the transfer from North Carolina. He'd really struggled so far, and he had the best grade. Now, it wasn't great, but the run block grade was phenomenal, 78.3. And for a team that can't run the ball, having Diego Pounds step in and play well, maybe an offensive lineman that where he could play something else, versatile when Jaden comes back, the right five, getting the right five together, getting the right mix at running back together. Ole Miss is still, unfortunately, figuring things out. And the worst part of that is because of how it opened the season. Four straight non-cons against Cupcakes, but they were so impressive. And the numbers were so video game-like that you could only go by what you see, and you had to wait about those problem areas to see if they were really problem areas, or maybe Ole Miss wasn't opening up the playbook all the way. Maybe they're holding back Ulysses Bentley, getting him ready for SEC play. And then, on Saturday, he does not come in until Micah Davis is injured. And he only played special teams. Meanwhile, Matt Jones, he had a bad day. Now, his pass block grade, and that's where I think Lane Kiffin is really valuing most things, because they came out just throwing the ball. With his running backs right now, he's just looking for protectors. And Matt Jones is 78.4. Henry Parrish was awful, 40 pass block grade. Maybe it's just that. He doesn't have any belief in his running backs. Whatever the reason, you heard from him, but he's being asked the question. She wanted to know, where is Ulysses Bentley? And he's saying the same things. Now, I think he's not completely back from his turf toe injury, where he had surgery after the spring. I think he's still dealing with that. Or maybe he's just lost a step. He's not the same coming off of that. I don't know. But I do know that when you lose 20-17 as the offensive-minded head coach, the one who is supposedly an offensive mastermind that is looked to by his contemporaries to share wisdom, share knowledge, to help them revolutionize their offenses. When it's 20-17 against a Kentucky team that had a good defense, legitimate, I think, top 25 defense in the country, in college football, it's on you. You're the offensive staff. So there are some things that we can point to, like Diego Pounds stepping in for an injured Jaden Williams, and say, hey, maybe that could help solve the running game issue. But the most obvious one right now is what we've all been asking. Where's Ulysses Bentley? So I know that Ole Miss has the defense, or at least still is keeping the reputation it had going into Kentucky. There were some bad moments for that defense, but that defense played really, really well. Really well. That last drive before the half, yeah, that one was tough. But the way they responded, Barry and Brown's play, it happens. Sometimes players make plays, even if you think he pushed off or not. I do. It doesn't matter. That's not why Ole Miss lost. Ole Miss lost because offensively they couldn't score. They couldn't do anything. It looked so hard. And that's why, like I mentioned in the post game on Saturday, we come to this place here in the Riverland Roofing Studios with a little roof up top to do Talk of Champions and start asking questions that we have to ask. Like, where is Ulysses Bentley then? If you can't score, where is he? Caden Priestcorn had 10 catches in the Peach Bowl. He has 10 through five games so far. And the only reason you saw him or remember that he was a part of this offense on Saturday was because of the desperation he, the 42-yarder, to keep the game going. Jackson Dart just throwing up a prayer, hoping it was answered. And Caden Davis, or Davis, excuse me, not Davis, Priestcorn answered that call. 10 catches through five games. That tells me that the offensive staff is not operating at their peak. The offensive staff is struggling to find some answers. Maybe it's all to do with the lack of time up front. Maybe so. Maybe John Garrison, buddy, the full attention is on you this week to figure out the five, the six, the seven that can actually protect and allow for longer than 2.5 second pockets. Maybe that is all it is. Or the offensive staff has just simply done a disservice to all the playmakers. Because you can make the excuse, Lane. You can say that, hey, man, who are you going to take the ball away from? I would say just get the ball to whoever's open. Ole Miss fans, your only choice for daily fantasy sports is Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app, Prize Picks, has over 5 million active members. And it's fun and it's simple. Pick two or more players from any sport, whether they'll go for more or less of their projected stats, choose flex or power play, and watch the winnings roll in. Flex means you still win even if one of your picks misses. Power plays are higher payouts, but you got to get all of your picks right. Bottom line, you have options that fit your daily fantasy playing style, but only with our friends at Prize Picks. And they've already made me a winner. CeeDee Lamb, an easy pick for more than 96 receiving yards. The only weapon for Dak Prescott in his more or less of 263 passing yards. Even better, you can now get up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And winning withdrawals with Prize Picks are fast, safe, and secure. When those picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. That's code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code TALKOFCHAMPIONS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive this $50 bonus. It's guaranteed with Prize Picks. Run your game. You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
And if they're not performing, get them out. Because you loved Henry Parrish's pass pro, but then he got destroyed against Kentucky. What are the consequences then? Can Ulysses Bentley get on the field then? What is the path? What is the pathway for a guy who was the highest graded returning running back in the SEC, according to Pro Football Focus, over almost 1,000 yards of all-purpose in 2 years since transferring over from SMU, it just doesn't make sense. And then and everybody can kind of look the other way with it or accept, well, it's nothing he's done wrong. It's just the other two. When then the other two don't really do anything either. While Matt Jones was pass blocking well against Kentucky, a 78 grade, Henry Parrish had a 40. And you couldn't protect Jackson Dart running for his life. At most, he got a 2.5 second pocket. So where is Ulysses Bentley? Where is Caden Priestcorn? Ole Miss had won 21 of its previous 23 games at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. But now, all of that is rendered meaningless. And then you have to look at, well, now Lane Kiffin is 1-4 in SEC openers. Ole Miss doesn't start well in the SEC under Lane Kiffin, 5 years under Lane Kiffin. The only win, Kentucky 2 years ago, and that was stressful as hell too. The strip sack from Jared Ivey is what saved it. So, is there a problem with Lane Kiffin teams starting SEC play? Is there something to be said about reconfiguring the schedule so that Ole Miss is better prepared to walk into SEC play and not have such a deflating, defeating loss so early? I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that Ulysses Bentley, at least it seems that way. I think I know on this edition of Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing and the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, for the 1-3. What I do know is that Ole Miss has the defense. It has the defense. The defense did its part. Suntring Perkins is emerging. He's looking like that dude. Prince Duman Mielin, you want to see some more pressure, but across the board, solid as hell. Jared Ivey came back. His defense grade was third highest of all Rebels. He got hurt and didn't play against Georgia Southern, that rolled ankle. But before that, he had been the highest graded edge in all of college football, and he comes back and he hits the ground running. He's back to what he was doing. But offensively, they had nothing. Jaden Kennedy deserves so much credit because teams have gone right at him. They thought he was the person or player, the personnel choice to expose in this defense. And he held up. Yeah, his grade wasn't great. His coverage grade was better. His coverage grade was one of the strongest of all Rebels. Actually, I think it's the third highest. Yeah, his third highest, fourth highest. Third highest coverage grade of all Rebels, Jaden Kennedy at 68.4, which is astonishing because that was his knock. He couldn't cover and teams tried to go at him, and he held up. Defensively, they have the tools. 20 points against an SEC team with Lane Kiffin as your head coach is enough. So I think Ole Miss needs to see more Ulysses Bentley. I think Ole Miss needs to see more of Caden Priestcorn. He appeared in 10 games last season. Ole Miss had a school record 11 wins. He was the MVP of the Peach Bowl. At the end of the year, you were thinking bigger things were ahead because he ended on a hot streak. 10 catches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns in back-to-back games to close out the regular season. And then finished with 30 receptions, 449, and 4 scores. You thought he was on the verge of even more, and yet he's gone the other way. In his last 3 games, he has all of 4 catches. And he rolled in 2 this year as the number 7 highest graded tight end in the country, according to Pro Football Focus. Now, Lane's right. There is less opportunity. His backup is Daquan Wright, an offseason transfer addition from Virginia Tech, who was the number 4 highest graded tight end in the country coming in, according to Pro Football Focus. But he's not getting the ball either. So when Lane says we've got 2 really good tight ends that rotate in, play counts less, I think it's more of a problem for Ole Miss offensively writ large when you allowed Kentucky to come in and do exactly what you knew they were going to do. Grimy it up, make it ugly. Limit your opportunities. You got 50 snaps, half of what you typically get. And on those snaps, what did you do to try to get the ball to the 7th highest graded tight end in the country coming in? Or the number 4 highest graded tight end in the country coming in? Because Daquan Wright didn't make a catch either. And the only reason why Caden Priestcorn made a catch was on a desperation heave. It was like Jackson Dart was defaulting to his instinct. Oh yeah, I've got a 6'7" tight end who is an NFL player, balled out last year coming over from Memphis. He's down there somewhere. Throw it up. And the only reason he did it because he wasn't thinking too much. He had no time to throw, so he ran and he chunked. And it worked out better than most any other play they had offensively all day, because when Jackson was thinking too much, it got bad. Free play, when he tried to run it instead of just chunking it to the end zone, who cares if you have an interception? It's a free play. There are no consequences to a free play. Throw it into the end zone, and he decides to tuck it and run. He's tattooed, and he fumbles, and they're like, well, I really hope that he was offsides. The other team was offsides. Or when he didn't, or when he took the sack on that last drive, you could tell he was pressing. He was feeling it. When he was responding instinctually, when he was just going, oh, okay, and pre-scored down there somewhere. Because Lane and Charlie Weiss, they seem to have forgotten what they have in Caden Priestcorn. Those 42 yards on one desperation heave, a dramatic improvement over the combined total, 14 yards from the previous two games. This is Phil Longo forgetting who Dawson Knox stuff is. And it's all easy to dismiss or explain away when the wins are happening. But now all of it comes on the backdrop of an ugly loss to Kentucky when the offense was the reason why they lost. So where is Ulysses Bentley? Where is Caden Priestcorn? Trey Harris is the best wide receiver statistically in college football, despite getting all the attention Saturday. Kentucky said, we're just not going to let Trey Harris beat us. And Ole Miss went, oh no, now what do we do? It was bizarre. I was like, well, put Juice Wells at running back and do all the motioning stuff that you did with Elijah Moore that you talked about doing in the preseason. I am not a coach, however. I don't pretend to be. Lane Kiffin is the coach. And I know he's got two of the very best players in the preseason, playmakers in the SEC, on his roster, and they have forgotten who they are, or at least how to design offense to get them the ball.
Lincoln Priestcorn has, I think, four catches over the last three games. Do you feel like he needs to be a bigger part of the passing game, or has his usage kind of been by design lately?
Yeah, I think fair question. You know, we got two really good tight ends that rotate in there. And so play counts less than it was at the end of last season. And sometimes numbers happen not by design. Sometimes, you know, coverages roll a certain way. These guys last week did a really good job of matching the tight ends, knowing how we use them and the routes we try to run. And so, you know, again, I would love for everybody to touch the ball and have great statistical games. But, you know, it doesn't work that way, especially when you go 1-for-10 on third down and don't get off the field on defense very well, and now you're 50-some snaps. So it's only so many balls, and everybody's a lot of times, especially when you lose, has these answers. Well, this guy needs the ball, this guy needs the ball. Okay, well, who are you going to take it away from, I always say to people. So where are you going to get those touches from? That makes it a lot harder to answer, in my opinion, than just how come this guy doesn't get the ball, which is a very normal question with – low touches, and especially when you lose.
You compound the problem from the offseason when you let Quinshon walk and say, oh, well, we got Bentley down in the hall, and Henry Parrish is coming in, then answer the question, where is he? Because looking at this team and its inability to get the ball to its playmakers and a lack of dynamicism in the backfield specifically against a good team, I'm thinking, what about the highest grade of returning running back in the SEC, unless he's hurt, and then just tell us that. Caden Priestcorn, the middle of the field, not forgetting it. I know that. I think Caden Priestcorn needs the ball. That seems like one that all of us kind of know, even Lane Kiffin. Because four catches in his last three games, abysmal. That's just inexcusable for a player his caliber, for a player who's going to be an NFL player. Getting him the ball. And then I know, if I think Ole Miss needs to get Caden Priestcorn and Ulysses Bentley the ball more, I know that this defense is good enough. Because I know Kentucky's offense isn't very good, but also more playmakers than Kentucky has had, arguably, in the modern era. They have three wide receivers, including Barry and Brown, who's their number three, that look like SEC wide receivers, next-level NFL wide receivers. I mean, if Barry and Brown's Darnell Mooney, that is a testament to how deep they are. Now, do I think Brock Vandegrift is the trigger man that can consistently get the ball downfield to them? No. Not necessarily. But he did exactly what Kentucky wanted him to do Saturday. And guess what? They got the win by sticking to who they are. Stubbornly sticking to who they are. Their plan.
Ole Miss, meanwhile, is impatient. The shots aren't coming. The quick score's not coming. It's as if they forgot how to play offense. Oh, we took four deep shots and they were underthrown. Okay, then try to scheme open Caden Priestcorn in the middle of the field. I'm not an expert. I just know that. I know that. That defense did enough. That defense did enough Saturday, and yet Ole Miss lost 20-17. So in this midweek report of Talk of Champions, Tuesday, no script, just me talking to you. I think Ulysses Bentley and Caden Priestcorn, seems pretty obvious, need to get the ball more. I know that the defense is going to be good enough to keep Ole Miss in every single game it plays. But it wasn't supposed to be about keeping Ole Miss in games for a struggling offense. It was supposed to be the defense that lifts Ole Miss in its already dynamic next-level offense with a Heisman candidate. That's not happening anymore. Elevate to national championship status, not regression from the offensive side. And what else do you call it? Trey Harris is the only player putting up any kind of numbers like last year. Doing better than last year. Everybody else, there's regression. Ole Miss let Quinshon Judkins go, and they've been bad. Henry Parrish has been good against cupcakes, but against Kentucky, 4.7 yards, that's perfectly fine. But he was it. Matt Jones was a non-factor, and Henry Parrish couldn't block. And that's one of the reasons why you said he was playing over Ulysses Bentley. Jackson Dart couldn't run, and you had no second option. The only option was Henry Parrish. So I think Ole Miss would do well to get Ulysses Bentley the ball more. He's the highest graded returning running back in the SEC. Yet Lane Kiffin continues to say, make it make sense to me. This has been an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. A little scatterbrained. I'm sorry. Like I said, it's been a crazy couple days. Sunday afternoon, we rode over to Emily's mother's house, or her parents' house, and they were loading up in the van with Brandon, and we were about to eat some chicken parm, and they're like, we'll tell you what's going on later, and we're like, okay. And that just snowballed then into a life-threatening issue from a brother-in-law. So, Brandon, get to feeling better. We want you back in form, riding around Oxford, because you know he Ubers in Oxford. Yeah, when he tells people he's Spirit Ben's brother-in-law, they love to pepper him with questions, and he is a non-sports guy, knows very little about any kind of sports. And that's just a delight to me. Him go, hey, so do you think we should play Ulysses Bentley more, Brandon? Sure. He has no idea what you're talking about. But he's stable. He's got the best keeping an eye on him. And we're praying for you, buddy. Get to feeling better. We need you back out on those Uber streets in Oxford, answering all the questions that were meant for me that you unfortunately have to sit through. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On3. That's my website. We talk about your Rebels all day, every day. And Riverland Roofing powers, as always, Talk of Champions. Riverland Roofing. They're good people. 662, I'm going to do it off the top of my head. 662-644-4297. You call them at 662-644-4297 for all your roofing needs. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. Sign up for a sub at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, fit of on three. Ole Miss South Carolina this weekend, I have no idea what to think anymore. That's the God's honest truth. I have no idea what to think about this game coming up. I think you're going to see arguably Ole Miss's most inspired performance of the year, because they are pissed, as they should be. When you get high off your own supply and your actions have consequences and you get what you deserved, I would be disappointed if you weren't pissed, but I still don't know how to predict this team now moving forward. They're not utilizing their playmakers. They've lost to a team they weren't supposed to. That never happened really under Lane Kiffin. It's more about they couldn't beat Alabama, couldn't beat Georgia, but losing to a team that was considered lesser than, no. Even though that defense is every bit as good as Ole Miss's, in my opinion, specifically its front seven. No. Now we're asking, can they hang with Robbie Ashford in South Carolina offensively? I think they could quite easily. If they figure out up front the right five, with Jeremy James hurt, Caleb Warren hurt, Jaden Williams now hurt. The injuries are bad, but I'm not sure even without the injuries they would have been much better. So the offensive line, if they can't get that figured out, if they only have 2.5 seconds of drop back time against good defensive lines, they're going to go 7-5. They're going to go 8-4. Or Kentucky was the wake-up call they needed. Let's hope that it's the latter, right? Let's hope that the offensive line struggling and then the playmakers forgetting who the best are, getting them the ball. Let's just pretend like Saturday, or at least for today, snapshot in time, October 1st, hope springs eternal. Halloween's not for 30 days. Let's then say that Saturday for now we'll consider the outlier, even though it was the first time they really played anybody, and offensively, they pooped the bed. South Carolina, the same offensive struggles. These echoes, or whatever you want to call them, are only going to get louder and louder about players like Caden Priest-Corn and Ulysses Bentley, because I know that defense is exactly where it needs to be, that we're talking about offense and the struggles offensively with the best returning talent Ole Miss has ever had in the modern era, plus the number three transfer class. That is alarming. Take care of each other. Be good to each other. Back on Thursday for another edition of Talk of Champions inside the Riverland Roofing Studios. Check out Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. Riverlandroofing.com, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On3. Be good to each other. Brandon, we love you. Take care of each other. God bless.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.